The Top 14 Things I Wish I Knew Before Getting a Guide Dog. Compiled by Mail George and Susan Glass. The Golden State Guide Dog Handlers Inc. affiliate, GSGDHI, has been super busy this spring. In January, we held a telephonic program that addressed the role of play in the lives of our dogs. In February, we held our first telephonic guide dog lounge, an opportunity for handlers to share anything they wished about working with their guides, encounters with the public and more. We held our March program online, calling it the Top 10 Things I Wish I Knew Before Getting a Guide Dog. Members posted their thoughts to our GSGDHI email list. At the end of the month, Mail George summarized the posts submitted by GSGD handlers. It turned out that we received 14 posts, all worth including here. Some addressed what it's like to train in a guide dog class. Others discussed the bonding process with a dog, the transition from class to home, and the adjustments that one's family members may need to make. We'd like to share our thoughts with all readers of the BC, especially for those who've been thinking about getting a guide dog, but haven't yet made the plunge. All in GSGD would be glad to chat with prospective applicants, and if you are attending the CCB convention, many of us will be there. 1. Linda Johnson. I wish I knew earlier how much a guide dog would open my world. During one of my first walks with Dodd, my first guide dog, I could not believe how fast I was walking, feeling so free and independent. I felt like I got back to my athletic self. I can remember the harness handle moving side to side in my hand and what an odd sensation it was. When I got home, people had to jog to keep up with us. 2. Susan Glass. Guide work can be bumpy during the first few days of instruction. Learn to feel your dog's pull into the harness and follow your dog. I remember my instructor telling me, "You're new to Kelsey and you've never followed a dog before. She's used to experienced trainers handling her, but not you. Give each other time." 3. Gil Johnson. Enjoy and make the most of every moment of your journey with your guide dog, because you never know how long your partnership will last. My first guide dog, Nero, decided to stop working at the age of 6. There's no set length of time a guide dog will want to work. Keep your school in the loop whenever something about your dog's behavior or health changes or seems off. 4. Tony Eames. I truly didn't realize every guide would stop at curbs and stairs and walk around obstacles. When I was matched with Charm in 1967, I was so impressed that my golden girl was competent at all these tasks. Also, I had a friend who was convinced that his dog had to be relieved on the schedule set by his school. He truly believed the dog would automatically pee and poop as soon as the clock struck. This is not necessarily so. 5. Mail George. I wish I'd known how high maintenance a guide dog would be. Egan, a thick-coated black lab, my first guide dog, had to be groomed every couple of days, which was, as it turned out, a good way to bond and check for lumps and bumps. He also required daily tooth brushing, and to prevent ear infections, periodic ear cleaning. I also didn't know that even though we walked on a lot of rough paved streets, he'd need to go to his vet to have his nails trimmed every 3 or 4 months. 6. Jim Blackston and Madeira. I wish I'd known how having a guide dog like Acura would open up a whole new world to me. Before Acura, I was concerned that having a guide dog would take up too much of my time, but because of what he did for me, I willingly took care of him, and that's what really bonded us together forever. When we started to bond and I learned to trust him, our relationship took off. I remember what an exhilarating feeling it was to speed walk on the sidewalks of San Francisco, weaving around people just like some drivers weave in and out of traffic. Having a guide dog has helped me to lighten up a bit, and not to be so serious. I became more expressive with people because Acura had a way of breaking the ice when we were introduced. He liked to flirt very much. 7. Tony Eames and Adora. I wish I'd known how fighting for my right to have a guide dog in grad school would turn me into an activist. People who know me now can't believe how reserved I was before getting my first dog. 8. William Elliott and Leaf. The main thing I wish I had known when I got my first guide dog, my only guide dog as yet, was how much of a celebrity he is. Wherever Leaf goes, he causes people to talk to him, and as his social secretary it has made life for me an adventure. Neighbors want to say hello, bus drivers know him by name, people ask where he is if I dare leave home without him. He has more friends on Facebook than I do. Having a guide dog has taken me from the invisible blind guy with a white cane to being the blind guy who works with Leaf. When working with our guides, I think we need to celebrate our inner celebrity. 9. Veronica Hernandez and Ella. Before I was trained with Gigi, my first guide dog, I wish I'd understood how having a guide dog would affect my family life and friendships, because it's not always easy. A new partnership with a guide dog is not only an adjustment process for guide and handler, it's one for the entire family as well. I wish I'd known that as a result of my partnerships with my guides, I'd be doing as much educating as I've done. Upon my return from GDB with Gigi, my family made me a welcome home cake and threw us a little party. I was excited to share the experience. They asked a lot of questions but respected my rules around interfering with Gigi's guide work. A few months after I came home with Gigi, I noticed a negative tone from the kids and even my husband when it came to whether or not she would go places with us. The kids would eagerly jump up and say things like, "I want to guide you." My husband at the time would say things like, "Let her stay home, she's out with you all the time anyways." Though Gigi was an excellent guide with nearly perfect guiding skills, I started to question our work when they were around. I made a list of when it was realistic to leave Gigi home so I could focus on the needs of my family. 10. David Jackson in Iowa. I wish I'd known that it would take Rollo and me a long time to learn to communicate with each other. I didn't know that I'd be learning the language of the guide dog. I did all of the prep before coming to class and imagined giving commands to the dog. I soon realized, however, this idea was unrealistic and a bit foolish. It took Rollo and me a long time to learn how to communicate with each other, which included giving commands, providing praise, and learning the nuance of body language, both his and mine. There was lots of practice and we had many failures, which led us to learn how to communicate with each other. In the end, however, it all worked out because Rollo and I were a successful guide dog team, traveling and enjoying each other's company. 11. Pam Metz and Franklin. I wish I'd known how hard it would be to learn to trust my dog. I was 42 when I lost my sight, and before that, I was driving a car, all I had to do was to trust myself. Suddenly, I had to learn to trust this little black dog named Delancey, and trust her to guide me safely all over the place. 12. Charlene Ornelas. I wish I had known how exhausting the training would be. It was more mentally exhausting than it was physically. At the end of each day during the first 2 weeks, however, I would sleep very well because I was so tired. Things got better as time went on, and by the end of training, being so tired was a thing of the past. 13. Frank Welt and Jeep. I wish I'd known how pleasantly surprised I'd be at how simple and unrepugnant the task of picking up after Jeep would turn out to be. To be honest, one of the biggest reasons why I resisted getting my first guide dog for many years was that I was put off by the idea of having to pick up my dog's droppings. 14. Alice Turner and Cora. When I was partnered with my first guide dog Kato, I often spoke to local puppy raising clubs in the area. With Cora I do the same, speaking with school-age kids and other groups. This is the analogy I often share with these groups. What I wish I knew. Traveling with a trusted guide is like sailing on the water with the wind, full blast at my back, easy and effortless. Even though I was a good cane traveler for many years, I was often tired at the end of the long day. When I lost my vision, it was more akin to carefully rowing a boat to make sure I stayed steady. Much prefer sailing, and Cora and I sail through our days.